questo mi proprio.
E chi cammina.
Those in the back, come up to the front.
Tonight, my talk will be quite informal. You are, of course, interested in Zen, but Zen is also Buddhism, you know. So it is necessary for you to understand Buddhism in general. Although it will not help you, my talk will not help you immediately, but it is necessary for you to have some understanding of original teaching of Buddha. And at the same time, various understanding of original teaching of Buddha. Or else, I'm afraid you will miss the point. Tonight, I want to talk about the threefold body of Buddha. The other day, Bishop Subi explained about what is the various understanding of Buddha, like historical Buddha. Buddha as the truth, and Buddha as a teaching or Dhamma. This concept originated from, of course, historical Buddha, who is so great. And he was so great that Hinayana Buddhist, or direct disciple of Buddha, had a kind of supernatural nature of formed some supernatural being, idea of supernatural being, like Buddha, who had the 32 marks, or 8 holy figure. Those concepts already uh, already formed some Buddha as a embodiment of the truth. Buddha who attained Buddhahood after unusual practice. So in Mahayana school, Hinayana Buddhist had no such elaborate aspects of Buddha, but Mahayana Buddhist started. Had the three aspects of Buddha. And this three aspects forms a trinity, like pre-Buddhistic religion. The three form is Buddha as a historical being who has his own body. But Buddha the teaching which was taught by historical Buddha was the truth itself. So here we have the idea of truth and idea of teaching. The idea of teaching and idea of truth form idea of Dhammakaya Buddha. And the Buddha who had unusual character formed the idea of Sambhogakaya Buddha. Here, so we have Buddha as the embodiment of the truth, and Buddha as a truth, and Buddha who attained Buddhahood after his long practice. Here we have the three aspects of Buddha. And this three aspects of Buddha was necessary for Mahayana Buddhist to become Buddha, or possibility of attaining Buddhahood. For Hinayana Buddhist, it was not possible to attain Buddhahood because Buddha was so great that they didn't think, they did not imagine, even imagine, the possibility of being Buddha. But Mahayana Buddhist put emphasis on the Buddhahood, which is possible for them to attain. Here, Buddhism, Buddha became more religious. The Buddha, for Hinayana Buddhist, is some unusual person. Something quite different from human being. But Buddha, for Mahayana Buddhist, is someone who is like every one of us. So they put emphasis on Buddha nature. So Dhammakaya Buddha, actually, the express the essential nature of every one of us, that is Dhammakaya Buddha. Because we have potentiality, after long practice, it is possible for us to attain Buddhahood. And every one of us is nothing but the embodiment of the Buddha. Here, Buddhism become more popular or more took a form of religion rather than some special teaching. Development was very important for Buddhism. For the revival of Buddhism. Because Hinayana Buddhism became more and more formal. And their teaching became more and more philosophical or Bhava. They had strict distinction between layman and priesthood. But in Mahayana Buddhism, there was not much difference between Buddhism in for a layman and Buddhism for priests or monks. Because the potentiality for to be Buddha for everyone was emphasized. So whether they are man or woman, whether they are priest or a layman, they get together in Buddha's pagoda and recite sutras and practiced various form of practice. As you know, Buddha although Buddha's body or ash was divided in six and enshrined various places, but they did not worship Buddha's ash. It was a time when Mahayana Buddhism became more and more powerful, that we started to enshrine Buddha's relics, building pagoda. And various religious activity were observed by people. So they have to have this kind of definition or aspects or understanding of Buddha. Buddha as a truth, Buddha as a our true nature, or Buddha as everyone of us, or Buddha as a historical Buddha. So they had already clear distinction between Buddha as our own nature and historical Buddha. And yet those understand those three bodies of Buddha is one includes the other. Although Buddhism became very common, but philosophically Buddhism became more and more deeper. In this way, Buddhism was developed as a religion. and as a philosophy too. This is how Buddhism developed and why we had the three aspects of Buddha. And in Hinayana Buddhism, there the sutra was not so philosophical. The teaching was not so philosophical. But in Mahayana Buddhism, we have three, we call it three baskets of three kinds of scriptures, philosophical one, and something told by Buddha as a teaching. And scriptures about precepts, observation. And philosophy, philosophical aspects of understanding of teaching developed. In Mahayana school or Mahayana Buddhism. And there are many three number in teaching, three kinds of scriptures, three fold body, or three series of the teaching. And those are as a Buddhist, we should know those. We must have this kind of knowledge, just as a knowledge. Those teaching or those understand aspects of our teaching were the background of them. So it is necessary for us to have those understanding or background of them as well as our practice. If you have some question, please ask. As we have not much doksan, so if you have some question, please any question. welcome. Please ask question.
Is Mahayana Buddhism also known as the second way?
Mahayana Buddhism?
Is it known as the second way?
Second way?
Yes.
Second way. Excuse me. What do you mean?
I was reading someplace about the second way as being the way of total annihilation of life as a goal rather than going into life.
Mahayana Buddhism? No, we say Mahayana Buddhism, but there are many, you know, teachings in Mahayana Buddhism. And Kevan school, you know, classified our teaching in three, you know. Kevan school, not classified, yes, classified. Had three aspects in understanding of teaching. So if the understanding is poor, that is, you know, secondary, not perfect understanding. And if the understanding is good, that is, perfect understanding, and that perfect understanding cannot be attained by just intellectual understanding. That is the Tendai's canon. Okay. And this is, of course, this is true with Zen too. This is another, maybe I must explain some other time, you know, the three aspects of understanding from three aspects. If you study the various canons of various schools, you will understand why it is necessary to practice Zazen. The various schools suggest us to practice Zazen. That is why we practice Zazen. You understand? So our practice based on the canon of various schools, you know. So then include then is based on all the Buddhism, all the schools of all the teaching of many schools. Zen is the result of many result of effort of many scholars of Zen is the result of many result of effort of many scholars of many schools. Do you understand? Zen is not something special. In other words, Zen is not one of 13 schools. Zen includes the 13 schools of Buddhism. If you understand Zen, you will understand other schools. Gist of the teaching is Zen. But not teaching, but you can say teaching in its wide sense. Hi.
Now that the weather is cold, how can we concentrate when we're like chilled in the morning? Like when we're really cold, like not from the outside, but we're cold and sort of inside our clothes.
Uh-huh.
How can we get our meditation back and our concentration through the tenseness of being cold?
Uh-huh. Yeah. How you feel. Nevertheless, you know, you should, you say, sick or cold will not kill you, but non-practice will kill you. Even though it is cold, you should do that. You see, it will be the chance or occasion to realize the truth. The cold weather or some difficulty in your practice will give you some chance to attain energy or to practice real practice. When it is cold, you should practice it because it is a good chance to practice. Then, this is rather, I think, traditional way of realizing our true nature. We have various desires. But by starting it, by taking negative attitude towards your desire, you realize your true nature more than Sadhatam. Dukkha, positive attitude towards your desire. It does not mean to annihilate your desires, but by stopping it, to take negative attitude towards your desire. That negative attitude results the true understanding of the desire itself, or human nature itself, or Buddha nature itself. So, if it is cold, you shouldn't wear too much. I think you wear too. You sit in too warm clothing. It is not that cold, so it's much better not to wear too many clothing. Some other question?
Down here, it's very easy not to get too attached to food and sit around thinking about, well, when's it time to eat, and all this sort of thing, because your mind just isn't going in that direction. But say, like at home, if you're in the kitchen a lot, and the kitchen is a combination kitchen and family room, and all the life centers around the kitchen, and you're in the kitchen all day, what do you do if you have this problem? Like, since I've been sitting, all my senses have gotten sharpened, and food tastes better now. But what do? You know, like, if I just have something to eat that ordinarily I wouldn't even care about, it tastes, that simple thing tastes so marvelous now that I'm looking for some more where that came from, you know? Well, then... Pretty soon I'm sitting in the kitchen eating, you know.
Well,
what do you do?
Until you realize your nature by negative practice. For all religion, negative, you know, practice is necessary. Which, you know, we should always take positive attitude only. Positive and negative, both attitudes, is necessary, but negative one is the most important practice. This is very true. Negative attitude. Negative attitude is to limit our food and to practice under some difficult circumstances and to refrain from some various activity. Various sexual activity or negative attitude towards various desires. I mean, did something arouse. We have to think more despite of this.
Desires, do you, by thinking negative about them?
Hmm?
You don't mean suppress, do you?
Suppress?
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't mean feel guilty about it, do you, Sensei?
Do
you feel guilty about it?
Say it's bad or something like that, or do you mean just not to do it? If you feel guilty about it, it will help you. Don't feel guilty. If I say don't feel guilty, it looks like I'm you know, I'm making some excuse for something. That is not matter of discussion, you know. It is rather, it is matter of practice, experience. You should not be blind, you know, in what you do, even though it is fundamental instinct. You must open your eyes to those activities. You shouldn't ignore it. You know. At least you should have positive and negative. And it is, as it is difficult to have negative attitude. We should try to be negative.
Negative has a very, leaves a very bad taste in my mouth. It has very bad associations with me. And I think it does with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really quite understand what you mean.
If it is, if the word negative creates bad feeling, it's all the better. It is, you know, the matter of you like it or not, you know, like the teaching or not. But what I mean is actual experience. You know? It is not matter of you like our teaching or not. So it is necessary for you to, you know, to open your mind. To your true nature. You see, as long as you are, you know, trying to ignore one side, I don't think you can understand our true nature. What will happen if you die? That is the most negative experience. But whether you like it or not, you will die someday. Remember, just remember what I said, you know, and open your eyes more and more careful, or more alert, and more careful with feel your desire more, and you will attain the freedom from various desires, and you can change one desire to the other. You see, like a blind man can hear better than, you know, better than usual person.
What you're saying is that you should put the snake in the small can.
Put the snake in straight. And Nayaharajuna said, you know, how you put a snake straight in. He asked, you know, someone, how can you make a snake straight? As no one, you know, couldn't answer, he said, put it in straight on bamboo or a pipe. That is a way to make a snake straight. And snake will know what is his nature. If he is like this, you know, he doesn't know his own nature. Negative and positive is very important. Like a rope, you know. If you twist two rope in two like this, that is negative and positive. One rope cannot make by one, just one law, just one material, we cannot make a law, we say.
So Didn't Buddha do that? Didn't he get down to one grain of rice a day? Didn't he deny himself a whole bunch of things? And then he talked about the middle way.
Mm-hmm. That is not to, you know, his practice with difference between asceticism and his way, but his way, asceticism, you know, practice that way, in that way, limiting their food or sleep, to attain something or to be born in some heaven or something like that. He had, they had some purpose. They practiced it for some purpose. But Buddha found the truth in that practice. The practice itself is the goal. This is very, I think,
Do you think fasting is good practice?
Fasting?
Yes.
Good practice for what? That is, you know.
For mastering desire, for thinking negative about desire.
Oh, if so, you know, there will be no need to fast, you know, for many days, for instance. That is a kind of practice, but that is not our practice. Even though you do not fast, you can practice it, you know, in the most usual way. This is a very important point. we have to think more about this point. I think you already have some, you know, some doubt, or not doubt, but you are wondering, you may wonder why I say this kind, why I talk about negative or positive attitude towards desires. But I myself have no answer to it.
Is there a difference between negative desires and positive desires?
No, that is one.
It's the same thing to kill someone and to love someone?
Yeah. Two aspects, two kinds of attitude we take.
Does that mean that we should suppress both?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that we should suppress these desires to love?
Yeah. Sometimes it is necessary. It is necessary. You are doing it.
Well, what about sincerity, Vincent?
Sincerity?
That's a very positive thing.
Mm-hmm. Sincerity.
If you suppress it, what do you have?
That is not sincerity, do you think?
I don't know. I get confused on things like sincerity and, you know, compassion.
Sincerity or compassion. If I say sincerity or compassion, you may think that is a very positive statement, but it is not actually so. Sincerity, just positive sincerity, or positive compassion, is not true compassion. Now, when you want to say to someone, sometimes you will hate it if you are sincere. If you know what really mean, what does it mean by some statement, you will be very careful that it's already negative. Even though you want to eat more, sometimes you hesitate to eat, you know, as much as you want. Without this kind of attitude, you cannot do. Positive one is not always positive in its true sense, you know, which is stronger, stronger person, a man who beat him, or a man who is beating, who is
being
beaten. Yeah. Which is strong? You should be if it's easy to beat someone, but if it's not so easy to be beaten without any, you know, not much difficulty to bear from being, to be patient in being beaten some. Hi.
Is it ever all right to be positive? I mean, is it ever all right to say yes to your desires?
Yes? To say yes? Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is all the saying no supposed to have a, per, you know, supposed to cease? Or, I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Those are, you know, actual experience will tell you, you know. But if we say religion, you know, we think religion will give you some, you know, advantage in taking some pleasure or in having some excuse in doing some positive things always. That is not true.
It seems to me, though, that it is nothing wrong with enjoying eating or sex or sleeping just in being attached.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting when it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, like is there some way so that you can, you know, just really enjoy eating as long as the food's in front of you, and then the minute it's gone, not think about it?
Mm-hmm.
And then is it all right to say yes and eat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, if it is so, it is all right. Nothing wrong with it. But it is not always so.
This teaching sounds as if we're supposed to fight with ourselves from the time we're born to the time we die. I would like to get to the point where I wouldn't be continually fighting with myself.
Fighting. That is your understanding of your life, you know. That is not actually fighting, you know, developing your desires. How to develop your desires, you know. The understanding, different understanding of one practice. If you say you are fighting with your desires, it may be so. I cannot deny the statement, I am fighting with myself. But that is not, perfect expression of our way. Let's study more about this. I'm so glad if you that you concerned my talk so much. That is not my problem. Your problem, so please study more. Not the problem of Buddhism or
Buddhas are there. After there's no rule. There's rules, but that rules is not always observed in the same way. Your practice mostly will be right when the practice is forced on you. Mostly it is pure. But if you practice by your own choice, there are many dangers of having some wrong element in it, in your motivation, motives. I have to do it, you know, because someone told me, as long as I'm here in this monastery, I have to observe in this way. So I do it. This kind of practice will result in more, rather than you practice it by your own choice. This is very true. If you become more sincere about your practice, and if you become more conscientious about your practice, you find it very true. Thank you very much.